Alaska's Newsmakers.
Action Line, KINY.
Welcome to Action Line. With me today, I have Ben Brown and Maggie McMillan. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Good morning, Jazz. Good to see you.
And so I want to just start off talking about what have you been up to since your last board meeting?
A lot.
A ton. We've been meeting with members, getting ready for season to start, talking about the potential moving of a campground, talking about the school bailout a lot. I think last month, Craig wrote at least 4 letters to the city to discuss different things we're concerned about. Let's talk about the big one in the room, which would be the school bailout first, right? We support the city helping the school district because it's a very important thing. Our school district is essential to our community. But we hope that we ask them to make sure that the school district had a plan for the money that they are given.
That was also really talked about by the public at that meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of public testimony.
And just at our luncheon yesterday, Senator Keel spoke. It was supposed to be Representative Story, Representative Hannon, and Senator Keel, but the two representatives had House floor session. But Senator Keel really outlines the fact that there's not a lot of certainty about what's going to happen in the legislature with school funding. So for our school board to build a budget that's overly optimistic is a recipe for continued disaster. So we are really grateful that the school board and the school district administration are being prudent and realistic and looking at the tough choices they have to make, because we can't just pretend like there's not a problem anymore.
Right, and I did talk to the school board just this week about how their adopted budget last week, it does not include state funding.
An additional BSA increase. Right,
yeah.
Right. And Senator Keel did say it's possible it might happen, but he didn't tell anyone to hold their breath, basically. So I think we're very grateful that those hard conversations between the school board members and taking public commentary are happening, and the whole community is watching and trying to figure out what's best for the future.
Yeah, and what was your feedback from the city with those letters?
We got good response back, and I think in the following meetings they have made it very clear that they do expect there to be clear communications between the school district and the city moving forward. And I believe, I don't want to quote the exact, but they are asking for written documentation.
Right. Well, and what's interesting is there's been a commingling of accounts up to this point, but not sharing of budgets and documents. So the money's all been kind of kept in one account, but the decisions about how much there is and how much can be spent have not been mutually shared. And I think going forward, there is going to be more sharing of the information. So we're confident that Mayor Weldon and the rest of the assembly are going to be working ever more closely with the school board and the superintendent to make this work.
Okay. And so what about, you mentioned Senator Jesse Keel, and it says that there's also a letter in support of Senate Bill 242.
Yes.
Yeah, that had to do with assessing across the state. So, Juno, a while back we had some issues with our assessing process, and we've asked, you know, for universal standards to be kind of taken into consideration. This letter went into support of Jesse's bill for it's almost making assessments universal across the whole state, right?
Well, it's making what the legal standard is, and then it also puts a delay period in, so an assessment can't be increased during an appeal period. It's just to balance the power equation out a little bit more between a property owner whose property value is increased, which is almost everyone listening to us right now probably. It certainly is the case for my house. Significantly. And that's, it's a double-edged sword. It's nice to have your main asset be worth more, but it's also tough when your taxes just go up, 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 and your mortgage goes up, up, up. So Senator Keel has tried to work with his colleagues in the legislature to make a more fair and transparent statewide standard, and that will be good for Juneau as well as the rest of Alaska, we think.
Okay. Do you have anything to add, Maggie?
He's the legal guy, so.
Okay, yeah, and I did get a chance to talk with Senator Keel about that on Action Line, too, really in depth, and how that arose from concerns in Haines and in Juneau, too.
So, no, we're really great that we are able to communicate on behalf of our chamber members to our local elected officials. And I think the other letter that we wanted to talk about maybe is the RAISE grant application for the Egan-Yandukan signalized intersection and the Lemon Spur extension project. People don't know that Glacier Highway is actually called Lemon Road as well. It's kind of one of those little factoids out there, but it is actually both. And this is a project that the city's been looking at, and the state's been looking at for quite some time. So we're supportive of those improvements to our transportation infrastructure.
And then just for people that don't realize that Yandukin is the Fred Meyer intersection. That is...
Yes.
I mean, if you turn off the road, there is a sign that says it there, but we all talk about it as the Fred Meyer intersection, and we understand the public safety concerns that mm-hmm. are around that intersection.
It is definitely the site of the most collisions on Juneau's roadways, I think, over the past decade. So
yeah, definitely.
So, we're grateful that, again, we've got some strong leadership at the local level trying to make that situation better going forward.
Okay.
We also just updated our support letter for the North Douglas Crossing.
Yes.
I had that on my list to talk to you about because they just put out the level 2 screening results. So, so what are your thoughts on that update?
We're really happy to see it keep moving forward. It's a long, long-standing priority of the Chamber. So we know that that crossing is critical for future development of Douglas. There are safety reasons that that crossing should be there. So we're happy to see it keep moving forward, and we will continue to support that project.
But again, I think, Maggie, long-term and not going to happen quickly are two takeaway points for that, which is why we just have to keep monitoring it. And it's a federal process. Federal processes are usually slow and arcane, and this one is certainly that way.
And then just a reminder to the public, if you support this project, it's people generally that support things, we're not great at saying that we support things, but the people who don't support things are excellent at telling you when they don't. So it's definitely when public comment goes out, we put it in our newsletter when they're at, like when they're asking for comment, mm-hmm. please engage if you support the project. It's a really great thing for Juneau. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't support it, I guess engage. Engagement's important.
And even if you're not able to attend like a public open house that they have, you can always participate in public comment on the website.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're definitely portals to submit comments in writing to make sure that the people's thoughts and sentiments can be heard if they can't attend the meeting. That's correct.
Yeah, the Dells group is doing a great job with this project.
And then I see down here you have written the Mendenhall Peninsula crossing makes the most long-term sense. But its $1.7 billion price tag and complexities will quickly take it off the final list. Can you talk a little bit more in depth about that?
Well, they already did take it off the list for that exact reason. The location itself, it made the most sense. It's farther out. It's the almost farthest away point from the current bridge, so it felt like it would be the most beneficial to Valley residents and to people coming right over. It would get them directly into the Valley. So that was why we picked it. But at $1.7 billion, it was definitely crossed off the list in this last round.
So. It would be a big bridge like the Verrazano Narrows Bridge to Staten Island. I mean, it would not be small. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it would be great. It would be beautiful. But with that price tag, it makes it less likely it's going to be built. And certainly it would make it a longer process waiting for it to be built.
Right. And so with the level 2 screening results, is Sunny Point, Vanderbilt, and Twin Lakes are scoring the best. And it looks like Sunny Point East is currently the favored crossing location by both Pell study scoring and public opinion.
That's our understanding, yeah.
And where does a chamber sit with that?
We're just happy to see it not right next to the current bridge, right? We want it in the Valley. We just really think that the fact that we're getting a second crossing is the main goal. And so we're happy with that alternative if it makes the most financial sense.
Okay. And how are some of the other ways the Chamber has been involved with this process?
So Craig Dahl, who's our government affairs head. I don't know. Government Affairs. Craig Dahl is Government Affairs. That's his title. He's been part of the Dahl Group's special interest group that has been working on this for years. So he attends all those meetings and then makes sure that we are informed and we're writing the letters and supporting the project whenever we need to.
And he circulates those to all the chamber board members. You know, we can all provide our input and feedback, and then we get those finalized and sent off. And we just try to do it in a timely manner, because the sooner we get those in, the likelier it is that they'll be read and considered by our elected officials or whoever else we're addressing, the Secretary of Transportation. And so, no, it's been an effective process, and it is very collaborative among all the members of the Chamber Board.
And tourist season is approaching, so I thought we could talk about that, our visitors coming back to us very soon.
Yes, and so, yeah, visitor industry, visitor season is upon us, and our visitor industry is preparing and getting ready. People are hiring. They're taking the paper out of their shop windows, and it's going to be probably another record-setting year of people coming to Juneau, so... We as a chamber, you know, want to make sure that that's an economic engine because it is a really, really crucial and important part of our economy. We also want to make sure that the quality of life in Juneau is not diminished by visitors coming here, and we are very committed to balancing between those two goals. And so we're lucky.
How does a chamber work to balance those two goals?
So we are fortunate to have members that are tourism businesses, from cruise lines all the way to small businesses, and we listen, right? And when we have to engage, we engage. So in the past, we've engaged Protect Juneau's Future. We've put together, when they were trying to limit cruise numbers, that would have really, it would have reduced our cruise passengers by like 75%. Imagine what that would have done to this community. So Protect Juneau's Future was put together by the Chamber of Commerce, and we fought that from becoming a ballot initiative. So when we have to engage, we engage. Right now, we are observing.
And this is going to be the first season that the five-ship limit is in effect.
And that's a voluntary, non-binding agreement that the cruise lines have come to with the city, and our tourism manager, who works for the city manager, is continuing conversations with the cruise lines to try to look forward to the future, what other kind of agreements might be made, again, to balance the beneficial impacts of a robust and really, really being a really popular destination with the impacts on locals. And so those conversations are continuing. You know, not all of the members of the Chamber Board are part of that process, but we as an organization are encouraging all the stakeholders to talk to one another and try to compromise and come up with a reasonable mutually agreeable solutions. So
okay, yeah, and I had talked with the tourism manager, and she said even though there's that five ship limit, the numbers are estimated to be the same as last summer.
Well, because what's interesting is as ships get larger, more people can be here on fewer ships. So, and of course, it's a mix of the big ships from the major lines and then smaller ships from some of the smaller cruise lines. We are, you know, just really fortunate to have such tremendous demand for people wanting to come do things here. We just need to continue to figure out how the opportunities we're providing, the whole situation with the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, you know, we are encouraging the National, Forest Service to revisit the permit system that it has.
Right.
Because it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not very logical or intuitive the way they're managing visitor numbers out there now. We can't change that, but we can encourage them to take another look at it, and that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, that created such a big issue last summer with the city buses just full of visitors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see, you know, and I'm sure there will be some difficult times in the coming visitor season, but there's probably going to be countless more positive experiences that people have when they come to Juneau. So, again, I always just go back to how fortunate we are that we live in a place that's so beautiful that so many people want to come here.
It's pretty lucky.
Yes.
But can I segue us into something?
As yes, we're talking please about? Do.
So I know we've been talking about government affairs, but I'm going to switch and go into our other part of the chamber, which is the networking, the business-to-business interactions. And let's talk about Spirits of Alaska and how lucky we are to live in Juneau. So Spirits of Alaska is a tasting event, and it's one of the only tasting events that we have in the state of Alaska, which is crazy. I think this year we have 8 distilleries coming from across the state to serve their wonderful spirits that are all distilled here. And then we'll have also food and music. And then, of course, it's a fundraiser for the chamber. And the way that we raise funds at this event is we have this raffle called the Bucket List Raffle. And it's all things that tourists or visitors come to do in our town, like go dog sledding, go to Sentinel Island. You know, they're not things that we generally do, though, because tourists do it. Well, they're awesome things. People spend so much money. They save their whole lives to come do these things, and we just don't do them. Mm-hmm. So the whole raffle, the whole point of this raffle is that you have opportunities to do things that you generally wouldn't might want to do or not choose to do, like go on a helicopter tour because that's pricey and you might not be able to afford it, but you can buy a $1 raffle ticket and try to get it. So that's pretty exciting. This year, though, for the first time ever, we are auctioning off an uncruise, 4-2, that leaves from Juneau. And we went back and forth. And
what is an uncruise?
So uncruise is the small cruise lines that is, they're headquartered here in Juneau and then out of Seattle too, right? Dan, those are their two offices. They own smaller boats, like small cruise ships that are almost like are ferry sized.
And then they have a couple of hundred yachts. Passengers. Yeah.
And then the one that we're going to give away is from their yacht, right? It's an 11 stateroom experience. And you get to go through all of Southeast Alaska. You get to go into Glacier Bay where they only allow 20 people a day. Mm-hmm. Like, amazing experience right here in our backyard. And we're going to auction it off this year at Spirits of Alaska.
When is this happening?
April 27th. And I don't have a location yet. It's a big... We'll announce that on our social media. Tickets will go live on sale next Friday at JunoChamber.com. Last year, this event sold out in a week. Once the tickets are sold out, they are sold out. So we highly recommend, if you are interested in going to Spirits, to pay attention to our Facebook page, because that's where we're going to announce when they are live.
And the venue probably will have a space constraint, just like it did last year. So that's why there is a limited number of tickets. Yeah. There's not a limited number of the bucket list tickets once you get there, though. We'll have as many of those as we can sell.
Okay, so once you get a ticket to participate in Spirits of Alaska, then you can buy as many raffle tickets as your heart desires.
Yeah, and they're a little bit different. But there's 250 people that can attend this event, and actually we only have about a half of those tickets to sell, because one of the cool things about being a Chamber of Commerce member is, depending on which level of membership you have, you get free tickets to events. So we comp out half of this event. So half of the people that are coming are Chamber members that are higher members that get tickets. And then the other half are just people throughout the community. But it's a really, really fun networking event, and we encourage a lot of people to come. And another thing that we're excited about at Spirits of Alaska is, while we're there, we're going to do our hard launch on the Trucker Travel Raffle, or as Ben likes to call it, What the Truck.
Yes, and so we're excited. That was a huge success last year. It was our first year doing that, and we're excited to be bringing that back. But we actually have, even between now and Spirits of Alaska, Maggie, we're going to have a luncheon next week.
I was going to ask about that.
Yes, so Commissioner Adam Crum, the Commissioner of Revenue for the state of Alaska, will be our speaker next week. We'll be back at the Hangar Ballroom. We've been kind of nomadic, going from venue to venue downtown, which is kind of exciting because we get different kinds of food and different kinds of atmosphere. Cool. So people should register for that. That's open for registration for next week. Yep. And then we have an after hours on the...
Same day.
That same night. That's right. So next Thursday, there's a luncheon at the Hangar Ballroom. And then that evening at the Red Dog, also around downtown, Eric Forst, one of our board members, is going to welcome chamber members to an after hours. And so that'll be a lot of fun. If you're not a chamber member, join and come to the after hours.
You can also come to our after hours and check out what we do and see if you want to become part of the chamber. Mm-hmm. We always encourage you do not have to be a chamber member to attend chamber events. It's a great opportunity to see if you want to be part of the organization.
And see what you're up to and get to know people.
Yeah. As Jordan calls it, our guild. So if you want to come check out our guild, you got to come to the events.
So that should be a lot of fun. And, of course, you know, Red Dog is one of those places that gets very, very busy once the cruise ships start coming in. So this is a good chance to see it right on the cusp of that time of year when it doesn't have – when there aren't five ships in town.
I wonder if there's going to be sawdust on the floor yet.
I hope so. I mean, that's what makes the Red Dog the Red Dog. So definitely come check that out. But if you go to our website, as Maggie said, information about all these events is there.
And on the Facebook, right? Okay.
Yeah, so JunoChamber.com is our website, and we have an events calendar there. And you can also sign up for our newsletter there. You don't have to be a chamber member to get the newsletter. And we try to keep members of the community well-informed on community issues.
Yep, and you know, for what chamber members are doing. So, you know, Perseverance Theater, where I work, Maggie's always good about posting information about our plays coming up, or our summer theater arts rendezvous will be happening again this summer. Or even our raffle, that's right, the Perseverance raffle that's underway right now. So, no, lots of information at the Chamber website and in that newsletter, and we encourage everyone to sign up to receive that.
Okay, and then before we wrap up here, I know we talked about this a little bit, but I just wanted to touch on looking forward to the icebreaker being homeported in Juneau if the bill passes.
Yeah, so everyone is very excited. There was a press release that went out yesterday from Sullivan and Murkowski's office, and Peltola, actually. It was a joint press release that talked about the potential home porting of an icebreaker here in Juneau. There's money in the appropriation bill that has been set aside. They all three worked really hard to get that money set aside. I think it's $150 million, $125 million, and then there's an additional something. They've worked really hard to get it. However, it has not passed yet. So the cool part about that press release is that it says that if it passes, that that icebreaker will be home ported here in Juneau, Alaska, which is an awesome opportunity for the community. But until that passes this weekend, we're not quite ready to celebrate.
Not quite ready.
But we're really, really grateful for the delegation's work and getting that money into that bill.
Okay. Yeah, and what do you think that could economically mean for Juneau?
You know, hundreds of people would need probably to move here to be the crew for that icebreaker, and hopefully they would come here with their families. And, you know, as we continue to try to create more housing in Juneau and stabilize our educational system and also look at other ways to have a really wonderful quality of life here year-round, those are all steps we as a community can take to be ready for when we have that influx of new people.
I mean, it would be a huge opportunity for contractors, right? There's going to be upland development for the icebreaker infrastructure. There would have to be more homes built. So, I mean, it would be a huge opportunity for our community.
And if you look at it in conjunction with the North Douglas Crossing, the Pioneer Road that already exists, the opportunities to develop the west side of Douglas Island.
The sunny side.
The sunny side of Douglas Island, Stevens Passage, where it's always sunny and 5 degrees warmer. I mean, really, just, you know, you can just think in 5 or 10 years what great improvements that could make to life in the capital city in terms of its being more sustainable and just a strong and vibrant capital. So it's really exciting.
Okay.
And we really thank Senator Sullivan, Senator Murkowski, and Congresswoman Peltola for all their efforts. We met with Senator Sullivan when he was in town a few weeks ago, and all the board members were just so glad to have him there in the room. I'm going to be back in Washington, actually, in a couple weeks, and hopefully we're going to sit down and be able to celebrate when I see him in his office there. So.
Okay, gotcha. And is there anything else you would like to add?
We have an open house coming up on April 18th at our new location from 3 to 6. That will also be on the Chamber website, but we're in Vintage Park now, right across from the new search building, and we would love for everyone to come out and see our new office.